Welcome to Business Infrastructure, the podcast about curing back office blues of fast-growing businesses. If you're a business owner or operator looking for practical tips and solutions to scaling your business in a sustainable manner, you're in the right place. Now here's your hostess, Alicia Butler-Pierre.
Hello, it's great to be with you today. I'm Alicia, and joining me to kick off Season 6 is none other than Mr. Jason Smith. Today's episode is brought to you by Equilibria Incorporated, and this season is all about profitable processes. And Jason is actually going to share with us the details of his sales synergistics process. What better way to start off than to talk about processes that help us make more money in our businesses? Jason, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much. If I was doing any better, I think I'd have to take something for it.
And this is going to be a fun interview for everybody that's listening. Now, Jason, you're based in Atlanta here with me, but you're currently in Idaho doing some sales training, right?
Right. I'm here training Hewlett-Packard.
Oh, wow.
One of the companies that I work with is Aslan Training and Development, also based out of Atlanta, and they managed to score a contract with. And I was selected based on my deep experience in software sales to work with them.
Now, what I love about Jason is that not only is he an advocate for sales and marketing and business development, but he's also equally as much of an advocate for operations. And you've had a very, very interesting career. You were an Air Force officer, at one point a manufacturing process engineer at GE, which is known for its Lean and Six Sigma programs. You then transitioned into business development. Now you're in sales. Tell us more about what you're doing at your company, Seagree.
So my organization, Seagree, started off when I was actually thrust out of the corporate world. I don't know if any of you have been through this, but many times companies balance their books by sending thousands of people home at once. And when I was asked to leave corporate America, having worked with companies like IBM, Fiserv, Home Depot, GE, Red Hat Software, I finally was asked to leave for the last time. And I said to myself, what can I do with what I have right now? And I had a depth of experience from the seller's perspective. I recognized that from my role as an individual performer, as a trainer and team leader in large enterprise sales organizations, that I could bring a unique perspective as to what companies needed to do to make sure that individual seller, where the rubber meets the road, talking to customers, can be successful. And that requires a fusion between sales, marketing, and operation that's all fused from that seller's perspective, from an understanding of the sales process. And I started to bring that all across the local area. That's what Seagree was, and now we're bringing the sales synergistics curriculum to people all over the country.
So this sales synergistics process, this is your kind of, not proprietary process, but this is a process that you've created as a result of your years of experience. And can you walk us through what that process actually is so that we can maybe figure out how we can apply it to our businesses?
Yes, sales synergistics is a top-down process that's led by senior-level leadership. It starts from an understanding that we try to imbibe in anybody we consult with that the number one need in your business is to generate revenue. People spend a lot of time looking at the number one or the first-class citizens in their businesses as maybe the engineers who do the development or the developers or the software engineers, something like that. Or maybe the executives who do the big high-level executive presentations and the business relationships and partnerships that run and fuel the business. However, if you understand that every business in this entire world, it only runs when a sale is made. And
yes,
the most people you have in the organization that's focused on revenue is your sales team. If you can get an understanding of what that sales team needs to be successful, if your operations and your marketing and everything about your sales process that supports the individual seller is lined up to make sure they're successful, and you will have a growing business. That is our thesis. And with that foundation at the center of it, we developed a 5-ring framework to make sure that every seller is working in 5 specific areas in the course of building and growing their personal success, treating their business as their own in their territories or in their assigned accounts, and making sure that they're able to function in those 5 key areas. It's like in baseball. If you had 5 different skills you need to build in baseball, build those 5 different areas around your sales process so that you can be successful, no matter what size of organization you're in.
And what are those 5 rings of your framework?
No worries. With that foundation started around the seller's perspective, making sure the senior leader understands it, make sure that all of your sellers are able to work in direct marketing, which is the things that are prescribed specifically to the sales organization. Any outbound sales calls, any of the account management functions where you're working directly in communication with the customers. Then on the other side, you've got content management, where you're creating things that are going to live when your sellers step away. They can send people to a website to find information that they're going to grow, what PDFs of case studies or maybe any of the information that exists as white papers. All those things need to be created with the seller's input. Okay, so there's your content management. Then you have your aspect of working with people outside of your business, in your affiliate marketing, anything in the channels. The sellers must be directly responsible for making sure that that third-party channel is working well. Then you also have to work with your existing customers, your advocate marketing, affiliates and advocates. Those are going to work outside of you. And then working directly with your outside marketing teams. So any mass marketing materials that are going are influenced by the firsthand observations you get, direct interactions with your clients. And the things that that marketing team is working in mass marketing, you leverage those to support your ongoing sales activities. So those 5 rings that circle it, I took that from the United States Air Force, where we have the John Warding 5-ring framework. I found the same 5 rings in the sales world and applied them directly to the things that made me successful in my 20 years of sales.
So you mentioned direct marketing or content management, affiliate marketing, advocate marketing, and what were the last 2?
Direct marketing.
Okay.
Content marketing.
Okay.
Affiliate marketing, advocate marketing, and the last one is your mass marketing, your outside marketing team activities, your flyers, your websites, your visual media presentations, leveraging everything that's being done there, which also includes maybe your one-to-many events, your event marketing things that your marketing team will run outside of your team. The senior leadership to make sure that every sales rep is taking advantage of all 5 of those rings at any given time, where they have the primary responsibility for that direct marketing piece.
So, Jason, is it that you and your team, you go into these companies like a Hewlett-Packard, and you would actually help them develop their framework, or you take their existing marketing, sales and marketing materials, and you kind of maybe categorize them into these 5 rings, and then from there help them figure out how to train their sellers? Like, how does a typical engagement work for you, if you can share that with us?
Yeah, no worries.
Okay.
More the latter. We'll come to an organization and assess what they're doing and what they hope to do in the organization. And by observing what they do in their current state, I can break out their activities into those 5 rings.
Okay.
And recognize which areas need the most work. In most companies, there is a silo for each of these areas: marketing, sales, and operations.
Right, exactly.
That, right?
Yes, all the time.
Sometimes there's a cold war between those companies where, oh no, it's sales' fault. Oh no, it's marketing's fault. Well, sales could do what they could do if marketing didn't happen. I got to tell you, one of the organizations I'm working with, not to be named, I don't put any of my clients' business out there, but there's a huge issue with we sell these deals, but operations can't get it shipped on time. We sold this deal, but marketing hasn't finished creating the product yet, and it's not ready for market. All of those things need to happen in conjunction so that the sellers are not ahead of the operations team that's trying to deliver on the promises that the sales team sells. So anyway, I'll come in and assess where those gaps are, and I'll make sure I plug in the right things they need to strengthen any of those 5 areas. Starting with the first and foremost thing is the senior leadership's understanding that you have to focus on the sales team's perspective first. the seller's perspective is the first place that we can focus on. And once the senior leadership understands that everybody needs to think in terms of what's going to make the seller successful, then everything else can fall in line. The processes and the operations that you build into your organization, if they're built around growing revenue through the sales team and their success, then everything starts to line up. Now you have a North Star for everyone to focus on. Make that frontline seller successful. One other thing I'll add to you.
Okay.
You can understand that seller's perspective as a senior leader, because sellers think in terms of adding value for their clients, ongoing growing value, and expanding their value to their clients. Every different organization, every other silo in your business, if they think like sellers, what do I need to do to get repeat business and deliver value for my internal customers if I'm an accountant or if I'm an operations or logistics person inside the organization? If you as a senior leader can get your people to think like sellers and talk about selling the services they provide internally, you've got a growing and stable business. You've got people who are motivated to do their best in their internal jobs to their internal customers. And that's the foundation of our philosophy.
This is really interesting because a lot of times I'll hear people, you're right, in operations, I'm going to come from an operations perspective. So a lot of times us folks in operations, we complain that the salespeople have sold things that we can't necessarily deliver on. I'm sure you come across that a lot. How do you address that?
But I thought that that came from hubris on the operations team's part. Coming from a sales background myself, I started off in operations. And in that world of operations as a process engineer at General Electric, I didn't interact with the sales team at all. I had no interaction with them whatsoever. I was trying to make sure my widgets got out for more productivity and less time.
Right.
But once I got into the sales world and I understood the operations background, I realized that the operations people aren't proud of what they do. They're not, oh, these salespeople are just crap. They just don't know.
Right.
They have no knowledge whatsoever of what sales does. So a lot of that gap comes from ignorance of what goes on the other side. And what's odd is that salespeople, I'll admit, as a sales guy, spend more time in sales than operations. We do vibrate at a different frequency. We just do. Salespeople are different. And I think what that comes from is our constant interaction with the customer. We are where the rubber meets the road. And what's interesting is I've got the perspective of being a military officer. Our relationship to the corporate organization is not that much different than the military's relationship with America. Can you see that?
Now, can you please guide me and help me explain that analogy?
There's a lot that happens when you're interacting with customers that cannot be described except in that moment. The emotions of the customer, what makes them tick, a lot of times it's difficult to translate that back to someone who wasn't in that interaction. And the more you have those interactions without the practice of translating them back to marketing, translating them back to operations, back to senior leadership, the more you do those in isolation, the less you're able to do it effectively and the less you try. And so you start to build up your own walls, isolation. They don't get it. They just don't understand. They can't even begin to understand what we go through talking to the customers. Similarly, marketing is over in their own corner, gathering information from every piece of marketing intelligence and business analytics they can, and looking at all the details. And there's no way they can explain to everybody what made this marketing campaign and this piece of collateral that's going on the website or in their flyers, what made it look like it does without all the hours and hours they spent building it. And the more they build it in isolation, the less they try to convey it to operations or to sales,
right,
they won't get it. They won't understand. You see how these silos start to build up?
Yes.
And then they'll throw things over the wall and say, hey, I spent many, many hours building the sales campaign, and I got these leads. They must be good. I trust them. And we'll throw them over the fence to sales. And sales will get them and look at them and say, this doesn't make sense. I've been out in the field talking to real people all these years, and I believe in my opinion of what's in my head. I think crap. And I'll throw it back, and it lands in operations hands. And operations says, in marketing. Sales says you're giving them crap leads. I don't understand. How can you make sense of it? The one way to make sense of it is when the senior leader takes the seller's perspective and makes sure that everyone else in the organization can see it. Now, why put the seller's perspective on the pedestal? The seller's perspective is the closest to the client.
Yes.
The sellers see the client more than anything. One analogy I like to use is in a race car team. You got engineers and owners and mechanics and all these other people that build a car. But they take their cues from the driver that's at the wheel. And while he's driving the car, he says it's soft. I can't drive it this way. I need a little more tension in this spring. I need a more power from this piston. And they'll go in and make the changes that the driver prescribes. If an organization can do the same thing, because the seller is driving the car, then what the operations team and the marketing team builds into the final product will be the most effective because they've got most firsthand knowledge from the seller. I've talked for a long time. I'm gonna stop.
No, that was awesome. No, I was like, you're on a roll. That was so awesome. And it's
let me slow down. I'm passionate about it, but I hate to preach. My grandmother used to tell me I should be a preacher. She did. She said, you should be a preacher. I'll preach
you would make
right
an
now.
Excellent preacher, Jason.
But I'd be a rapper. You know, rappers make more money.
Now, as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, wow, this ties in so nicely to business infrastructure, because with your five-ring framework, you're talking about linking everything and getting everyone involved and breaking down those silos and having these flatter, leaner organizations so that there's more transparency. And so, again, this is such a nice segue into what business infrastructure actually is. And for those of you who are listening for the first time, business infrastructure is just a system for how you link your people, your processes, and your tools to ensure that growth happens in a profitable and sustainable way. Now, Jason, you've walked us through the five rings of your sales synergistics process. Can you talk to us a little bit more about the people and the tools that can be leveraged in executing or implementing that process? Now, obviously, there are the sellers that you talked about. There's getting the senior leadership involved and getting them on board and reframing their messaging from a seller's perspective. But who are some of the other people that you would say should get involved as we try to implement a process similar in our respective companies?
Yeah. Well, it starts with the senior leadership. But again, as I mentioned, sellers are a different breed. Senior leadership cannot take all of their cues from sellers themselves. As a seller, I will tell you what people have suspected about sellers for a long time is very true. We're very lazy. We're very focused on us. If it's not going to make me money, I don't want to do it. I don't care if it makes operations life easier. I do not care. Now, remember, senior leadership, you trained us to be this way. You have trained us over many years, whipped us into shape with compensation plans. And senior leadership, who came from an old Glengarry, Glenn Ross, boiler room kind of world, to make us these dogged, very selfish, tenacious, non-other-centered people, that we really want to work on making money for ourselves first and foremost, winning and closing deals. And sometimes the long-term relationship is left to operations role of customer service and things like that. It's up to you to help to bridge that gap. I digress. Besides the sellers and getting information from them on what the sellers should do, there's a role, a growing practice in the business world that I think most companies should leverage. Whether you have a team for it or not, a small business of 10 people should start to learn the practices of sales operations. There are a lot of good organizations out there that focus on sales operations.
Okay.
SBI, we had a sponsor who for my military veterans entrepreneur group called Bunker Labs that I lead. That was sponsored by one of the senior leaders from SBI. SBI has focused for many years on studying which techniques and which practices on a sales team actually work. It's where you take people with accounting backgrounds, are great at crunching numbers, and they study and measure everything about the sales team. Mm-hmm. How many calls, which calls, when and where and how. Using software like Gong.io, which studies which words people use. G-O-N-G.io, Gong.io, okay. Studies the words that the sellers are using. And someone on the sales team can study the effectiveness by the number of which words, which techniques, which practices are actually working effectively, and feed that information back to operations, feed that information back to the sales leadership team, and help to prescribe to the team what they should be doing. Now, because sellers are sellers, you cannot mandate these things and just proclaim that to them. Sellers need to be coached. Think of sellers like prima donna wide receivers. Everybody get that? Wide receivers are kind of prima donnas, T.O. It takes a really good coach to get into the hearts and the minds of the seller and coach them on what needs to work with an understanding of what works based on sales operations. The analytics, the deep analytics of every little thing that works, and aligning the coaching, the ongoing personal coaching from the managers to actually make the sellers more effective. If you want the sellers to be better, focus on the managers and empower the managers with data. That requires people. Mm-hmm. So get yourself a sales ops team. Empower them with passively monitor what works. Gong.io, a really good CRM system, right? I love Salesforce.com because it's so robust. There's other sales CRM systems that work just fine. But on top of that, you've got things like SalesLoft that provides all kinds of other contextual evidence as to what works in an organization for marketing and sales automation. Using all of those things to gather data and empower those managers to do things that work best. And also, I'm a partner with AslanTrainingAndDevelopment.com. Aslan Training and Development will allow you to get a mindset for every manager to learn how to coach individuals around those key fundamental one-to-one competencies, success with each client. Work on those things for those people and processes and tools that will help you start to align. Once you get that understanding of what's working, now you can take that and craft that model of success for what operations and marketing need to do to support what sales is doing. Does everybody got that? Those three different pillars working together?
Yes.
Senior leadership as the hub?
Yes. Oh, yes. Senior leadership is the hub. And again, I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, I'm totally operations. I obviously understand the importance of sales and business development, but how would I go about finding someone like yourself, a sales coach? Because listening to you and I'm thinking to myself, this just isn't my natural skill set. So how can I find someone who can come in and help me with my sales team? Or maybe even help me recruit the best salespeople for my company?
Oh, well, I tell you, recruiting the best salespeople is a whole genre worth a conversation in and of itself.
Yeah.
But in terms of finding the right third-party consultant to come in and help you, I congratulate you all for listening to this. You just found the right one. Call me, right?
Shameless plug.
Because why, right? Because why not? I really feel like the unique perspectives we have from the seller's perspective is the best and the most applicable to what you're trying to do. More importantly, I'm backed by the 23-year experience of Aslan Training and Development. Aslan Training or at aslantraining.com, it gives framework of how sellers think about approaching their job. And more than not, most people who want to change their organization, they try to focus on the sellers themselves. Well, Aslan got smart. They realized that the faster and least expensive way to affect the outcomes and the performance of the sales team is not to focus on the sellers. Focus on the sales managers. So if you wanted to begin, start by finding a way to collect data about what's working on the sales team and start to drive the performance of your sales managers as coaches. find an organization that is focused on coaching the mentality, the thought process, the philosophy of your sellers around the core competencies, the things, the skills that they need to do on every interaction. You can start with that and monitor what's working as they grow in that process. You'll begin to move towards a synergistic thought process that puts the seller first. Once you have that understanding, now build everything in your organization from operations to marketing to legal to finance, all the things that you need to support that seller around making it easier for them to do those things to get better in those core competencies. A lot of times sellers are heartbroken when they sell a huge deal and operations can't deliver.
Right.
You told me it'd be ready by this date, but it didn't.
Right.
They lose heart. And that's hard to rebuild that. So build around supporting them. Work with training your sales managers. Study their growth. Understand deeply the emotional drivers of your sellers and your managers and how they're thinking. And now build your whole organization of support. That's the easiest first step.
Wow, that was great. Well, let's take a quick moment to hear a word from our sponsor. When we come back, I want to know if there's any other parting words of advice that you can offer. Equilibria Inc. is an operations management consulting firm offering products and services to help fast-growing small businesses scale with less pain. Visit eqbsystems.com for more information. And we're back with Jason Smith. Jason, you were doing a fantastic job of describing your sales synergistics process with us, gave us some great resources that we can look into implementing in our companies, starting with the CRM Salesforce. But Salesforce is enterprise level, so I'm not sure if a lot of our listeners would start off with Salesforce, but maybe something more at a smaller level. You also mentioned SalesLoft, Aslan Training, Gong.io. That's definitely something that I'm going to check out. Do you have any other advice for those who are listening right now and are just trying to figure out, how do I even get started with improving my sales process?
Yeah, as a senior leader, your associations matter. So I advise you, because people at the very top, they're eagles. And eagles don't really flock. They kind of fly solo. So find associations, professional associations that you can network with and learn some of these things. Attend lectures where people are talking about sales transformation. Google things like sales transformation to help you out to find knowledge. And also study and Google sales operations. I would look up organizations like SBI. And for local networking, I really recommend organizations like the Technology Association of Georgia Sales Leadership Society. And also associations like the Enterprise Sales and Marketing Association at esma.org, right? esma.org is some regular monthly meeting in which everybody gets together from the sales and marketing world and shares best practices with some great speakers and topics like what we're talking about today.
Is that a national organization or international? Do you know?
I think ESMA is a regional association, the Southeast.
Okay.
Speaking of which, I just mentioned the Technology Association of Georgia, right? So that's also a regional association. But those are the ones that I network with primarily. And I think that for everyone, since I'm mentioning a regional association that works for me, working locally for yourselves is very helpful. National associations are great. But face-to-face interactions where you can meet with people individually, have coffee, have a drink, they're very powerful. So
yes.
For your national listenership, I'm sorry not to have a regional association to give you, but I challenge you to go and find a regional association that will work using terms like sales ops and sales operations, national websites like Meetup, a great place to begin. I really like Meetup because it finds a lot of special interests that you can begin with. And interacting with those people a couple of times will tell you whether or not it's a good group or not to deal with.
Absolutely. Meetup is a great place to get started. How can people get in touch with you, Jason?
Great. Well, two things. Number one, as a contractor for Aslan, that is still my primary email address. I get so much traffic from the Aslan email address. I use that one as my primary. So
okay.
You can reach me at jsmith@aslan, A-S-L-A-N, training.com, or you can reach my website at CIGRIE.com. CIGRIE is an acronym, help you remember which letters I'm saying. Creativity is the greatest rebellion in existence.
You can
You can be upset about the way your organization is moving. You can be upset about the way your team is performing, or you can create a new process to make your world and make your status quo different. Creativity is the greatest rebellion in existence.
Oh, that's awesome. I don't think I got that from visiting the website. I didn't realize that's what it stood for.
No worries. Well, we're kind of promoting the self-centered
curriculum. You should make that pretty prominent, Jason. While this says
sales synergistics, which is the first thing you see on the website, that says it.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. That kind of makes the point of what we're working on.
Right. Absolutely. Well, Jason, thank you so much. I know you've had some long days doing training, so I appreciate you taking time out to speak with me.
Yeah, well, I did a lot of speaking. I think we need to have another conversation, a little more back and forth dialogue. I'm already critiquing myself as a seller. So,
This is great. This is great. It's all about listening and taking the information in. So again, really appreciate all of the resources that you shared with us as well. So Jason shared with us his 5-ring framework for sales synergistics. And it's all about linking together all of the different business units, for lack of a better term, within your company. The whole point is to break down these silos, increase transparency so that everyone understands what has to be done from a seller's perspective. And that 5-ring framework, again, just to recap it really quickly, direct marketing, content management, affiliate marketing, advocate marketing, and mass marketing. You're looking at both the internal as well as the external aspects. I loved it when you said, Jason, that senior leaders really have to get on board. They have to focus on the seller's perspective. And once they do that, they can make sure that everyone else in the organization understands how the work that they do can support that seller's perspective. That can really break down this tension, if you will, for lack of a better term, that can exist between sales and operations, where people in operations are saying that sales sells things that operations can't always necessarily deliver on. Also gave us some great resources. Love the analogies to the military. You also mentioned the importance of collecting data on what's working and using that to coach sales managers. This was all such great information. There is absolutely a way that all of us listening to this can apply this process to our businesses. If you want to know more details and figure out how you can work directly with Jason to come and coach you and your sales team, definitely connect with him. His email address is jsmith@aslantraining. His website is CIGRIE.com. We're going to have links to all of the resources that Jason shared in the show notes at businessinfrastructure.tv. Now, in my very last episode of season 5, I hinted at changes that were going to be made in the podcast, and one of those major changes is having video versions of each episode. So you can actually check out the video version of my interview with Jason at businessinfrastructure.tv. Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, stay focused, be encouraged. This entrepreneurial journey is a marathon and not a sprint. Until the next time.
Thank you for listening to Business Infrastructure, the podcast about curing back office blues with Alicia Butler-Pierre. If you like what you've heard, do us a favor and subscribe, leave a rating and review, and more importantly, share with your colleagues and team members who could benefit from the information. Join us next week for another episode of Business Infrastructure with Alicia Butler-Pierre.